Excellent. Friends, it is just a good thing at this time of year to be a part of a church family. Every Advent season, this is my 19th one, I think, as a minister serving full-time, and every one is different. But every one is, you feel a sense of excitement, the sense of building as we anticipate the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so in these upcoming weeks, we prepare our hearts, we prepare for that special birth as we make our way in faith to the manger. And this week, we begin a brand new sermon series. A sermon series is entitled, And He Will Be Called. It's a sermon series based specifically on a passage in from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. And it's a verse that many of us are familiar with, that a son will be born to us, a child given to us, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And so for these upcoming weeks, each 4 weeks as we approach Christmas morning, we'll reflect a little bit about each of the titles that we use for our Savior Jesus Christ. In this particular week, we reflect on Wonderful Counselor. And so my question to you is this: what is the best advice you've ever been given in life? Or what is the greatest counsel you've ever received? I remember back in high school, I was a cross-country runner, and I absolutely loved this man. His name is Matt Luck. He was my cross-country coach. And particularly, I loved this guy because he never gave up on me, even in those questionable years in which you can go different directions in life as a teenager. He always stuck by my side. And we were getting done with a workout one day when he gave me a great piece of advice. That particular workout was kind of a rainy day, just like it is today, and he sent us out to go run hills over behind the old Willoughby Courthouse. And behind the Willoughby Courthouse is a sled riding hill, which is very horribly steep. And it was rainy and it was muddy, and so by the end of the workout, we were soaking wet, our shoes were full of mud, we were disgusting, and all I wanted to do was jump into a shower. And as we were done with that, we had 3 miles to run back to our high school. We got back to the high school, and our coach sent us out for another 3-mile loop to cool down. Well, trust me, I was cooled down. I was ready to warm up inside of a warm shower. Now, the 3-mile loop was around a bunch of streets, and we had the opportunity to run the 3 miles, or we could cut it a little short if we chose to. And for me, I was ready to jump in that shower, so I led a group of guys, and we ran a little short. Now, I don't know how our coach knew, but our coach always knows those sorts of things when you cut things short. And he pulled me off to the side as the captain of the team. He said, Bill, shortcuts always lead to dead ends. And if it was up to me, I would say, no, Coach Luck, shortcuts led to me getting into the shower quicker. It seemed like a rather efficient way to clean, get myself clean and to warm up. But I think back to the advice he gave me and I realized, goodness, that was great advice. You see, shortcuts do lead to dead ends in our lives. That if I'm willing to shortchange myself in this area or not work as hard as I need to in another area of life, then what will that ultimately do to my own integrity and as a person? If we choose to shortchange ourselves and our vocations and our places of work, how will that do for the employer that we are working for? If we choose to shortchange ourselves and our relationships, the things that are most important in our lives, our relationships with our husbands, our wives, our children, our parents, our friends, that certainly is not what they deserve. Now, trust me, we can give them our second or third best in life. We can shortchange them. We can shortcut them as much as we choose to, but it will lead to dead ends. It will lead to broken relationships. So I thought about that advice I received way back when I was probably 17 years old, and it was great advice back then, and it is still wise counsel today. And so what's the greatest advice you've ever received? Today we celebrate United Methodist Student Day. And Nikki and Kyle, thank you for leading us in liturgy. And so many of our college people are back in the area celebrating Thanksgiving with their loved ones. And soon, do you head back to school? Probably this next week, I'm guessing, right? You go back today, and Kyle, you start classes again on Monday? You're done with the semester? Oh, okay, you're on co-op. Well, this doesn't apply to you then. Okay. But as they're getting ready to go back for the end of the semester, my prayers for you at the end of co-op, and then also for you, Nikki, my prayer is that God will bless the work that you do, and will continue to give you the courage and the strength to push through those last couple of weeks before Christmas break. And it reminds me of the greatest, wisest counselor I ever had in my life was my mother. And she gave me this great advice as I headed back to school at one Thanksgiving break. She said, "Billy, don't start vacation too early. You still have a couple weeks left to go." Now, my mother always drilled it within my sister's brain and my brain to always work as hard as you possibly can up to the last minute. If there is extra time after you have done your job, well, then that is the time for play. But if up to that point, it's like you work hard and you get the job done. You work hard until the job and the work is complete. And for me, when I translated it into my college life, it worked out well. It meant that I worked on my papers far in advance. It meant that I would never went into a test feeling like I didn't have a clue. I didn't always get all the right answers, but at least I kind of had an idea. But when I thought about that, basically her advice for me is the same advice that Jesus Christ has for each and every one of us. Always be ready. Always be prepared. It's the advice that Jesus gave to his disciples throughout his 3 years of instructing them. Be prepared at all times. Be ready to serve at a moment's notice. Be prepared with a word of kindness on your lips. Be prepared to move when life comes passing you by. Because we all know that the train is coming, our Lord and Savior is coming this Advent. But the question is, will we be ready to move when he comes? Or will that train of life pass us by? Our advice is be ready and to get on board. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells us this analogy of people working out in a field. He said there are two people working out in a field. He said one is taken, the other was left behind. And I asked myself the question, what's the difference between the two people? Well, one of the two people realized they weren't destined to stay in the field forever. And when the opportunities of life came to them, they moved because they were prepared to move. They were prepared to go. There are two people grinding grain. One of them was taken, the other one was left behind. One of them thought to themselves, gosh, I don't want to be grinding grain for all eternity. And so when the opportunity comes, I will be ready to move. I'll be ready to go. And friends, for all of us, our Lord and Savior is coming to us. And we prepare ourselves for an hour in which we can't possibly expect. And so when Christ comes to us, what will we be found doing? Will we be found sleeping? Or will we be awake spiritually, ready to move when life comes? Or will we let that beautiful life pass us by? The advice from a wise and wonderful counselor is to be prepared, to be ready. There was a traveler making his way home for Thanksgiving, going through the Atlanta airport. Now, if you've ever been through the Hartsfield-Atlanta airport, you know how congested it is in around Thanksgiving time, frankly, at any time of the year. And this traveler is making his way through the food court, that little area right before you get into that horrible TSA section, before you've got to get through security. And as he was walking through the food court, he heard this most powerful voice just singing out, belting out this most beautiful music. And he looked around thinking that perhaps the airport had arranged for a special musician to be there, but he couldn't identify where the voice was coming from. So he turned and he looked and he heard this beautiful voice resounding off the walls. It was strong. This was no singing in the shower kind of voice. This was a professional voice, practiced, a person who had truly honed their skills. And he searched and he searched and he looked in all directions because the music was reverberating around the food court until at long last he realized it was coming from behind the counter of a little fast food area in the food court. He walked up to the counter and he waited in line, then asked the girl behind the counter, and she said, "You know, who exactly is that singing back there in your kitchen?" And she quietly smiled at the traveler and said, "Oh gosh, that's just Martin back there. If his singing is bothering you, I'll tell you to go and I'll tell him to quiet it down a little bit if you'd like." The traveler said, he's like, "By all means, he's not bothering me. My gosh, his voice is amazing. I want to be able to meet the owner of this beautifully talented voice." So she went in the back, she went to the kitchen door, and about a minute later, Martin came out as this big, huge, hulking man with this big, friendly smile. And he shook the traveler's hand. He thanked him for the compliment. And the traveler asked him, he said, you know, what in the world are you doing back there in the kitchen? He said, well, I'm trying to make a living. That's what I'm doing. He's like, yes, but my gosh, a man with a voice like yours, you should be somewhere else. What are you doing singing back there? And Martin simply replied, he's like, I'm auditioning. He's like, you're auditioning? Back there in the kitchen? And Martin said, do you realize how many people come through this Ford food court on a daily basis? Do you know how many thousands of people from all over the world are coming through here every single hour? He said, I'm certain that one of these days, somebody's going to come by and they're going to give me a chance. One of these days, somebody's going to come along to get me out of this kitchen. And I need to be ready for when that moment comes. Friends, we are called to be ready this Advent season. To be ready when life presents opportunities. To be ready when Jesus Christ, the Lord of life, comes into our life and is born to us. And so we prepare this Advent. We prepare ourselves by lighting candles. We prepare ourselves by singing songs of joy and mercy. We prepare ourselves by readying our lips with a word of kindness on them, prepared to share that word of kindness with anybody who asks. And friends, I also want you to be prepared that if anybody asks you, who is this Jesus Christ that you are welcoming on Christmas morning, you need to be prepared to tell them who Christ is to you. The Christ is the one who did not let me go. Christ is the one who sought me out and believed not in what I was today, but in the person I will become. Friends, who is Jesus Christ to you? Should a person who has not no church background in their life come and ask you, who is Christ to you? You need to be able to prepared to tell them. And so, friends, we prepare. We prepare for the Lord of life, for Christ is coming. He's coming for each of us. A child born to us. A wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He's coming. So this morning, let us continue to prepare. Let us continue to prepare with the celebration of the sacrament of Holy Communion. Amen.